Welcome to the second episode of the Recasto Podcast. I'm your host, John Champion, and on this episode, we're talking about music and concerts, and I have an expert as my interview guest, my girlfriend Gay. That's right. So we'll share our love of music, live, recorded, and talk about some shows we've seen together recently. But first, I've got a reminder for you about where you can find the show. Remember, you can find us on Anchor, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Radio Public, and more apps coming soon. Also, make sure you follow the Twitter and Facebook pages for the podcast. I've got links in the episode description. Also, our Twitter is RecastoPodC1. And you can, again, check out the Twitter and the Facebook pages every day of the week to see what I'm listening to since the last show. And also, you can find links to that in the episode description. Now, music is all about bringing people together. And there's so much going on in the world, in our country, that's dividing people. And I really hope it stops soon. So we are going to take a quick break. And we're going to come back to our really awesome interview when the Recasto Podcast continues. And we're back on the Recasto Podcast. And I was thinking about the next person to interview. I love music. I love concerts. Who better to talk to than my girlfriend, my sidekick, my outdoor, indoor concert buddy, Gay. Hey, Gay, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm so much better now that I'm talking to you. So we go to a lot of shows together. Why do you love live music, live shows so much?
Well, because it's magical. And I say that because one of my favorites, Tom Petty, had a quote where he said that the only true magic he's ever known was music. And I think that's best described as when you see an artist do their magic. They perform their art. You get to see them live doing their thing, the thing that they are most passionate about, and they bring that, and you feel their energy, you feel the energy of the crowd, and there's just nothing like it.
I love that. Now, between the two of us, we've seen a lot of different shows. I've seen Prince a bunch of times. You saw Tom Petty a bunch of times. I think we've both seen the Eagles. I've seen hip-hop shows, I've seen R&B shows. So tell me, of all the shows you've seen, what are some of your favorite ones? What are some of your best ones?
Obviously, of course, all the Tom Petty shows were amazing, especially the first time that I saw him. That's now, what made me really fall in love with him.
Now, how many times did you see him?
If I'm recalling correctly, I think it was 11.
Wow, that's awesome. That is awesome. And tell me again why. Okay, so you've seen him 11 times. Tell me what made his shows more special and more different from some of the other shows.
I think there was the first time I saw him was in 2006, Riverbend in Cincinnati, Ohio. Uh-huh. And I purchased a couple of tickets thinking I could get someone to go with me. I'd heard he'd always done a great show. And I was like, I've got to check this out. He had just come out with Highway. Oh, gosh. What's the name of the album? Highway Companion. That was it. Okay. And that was the tour he was promoting, Highway Companion. And I couldn't find anyone to go with me. So I said, I'm not missing this show. I'm going alone. So I took off and went alone. And it was one of the greatest experiences of my life. And I hate it that I didn't have anyone to share it with. There were lots of fans around. I was in the lawn, nothing fancy. But you really get to know people, especially when you go by yourself, you know, you have no one else to talk to. So all the people around me were really friendly. They're like, oh, have you seen Tom before? Sometimes he brings Stevie Nicks. I thought I was going to lose my mind. I was like, oh my gosh, if Stevie Nicks shows up on this stage, I'm going to lose it. Sure enough, she showed up. And it was amazing. Like the moon was full. It was bright orange. Like you could almost reach out and touch it. Everyone was in such a great mood. They were dancing and enjoying the show. It was just, but when he sang Learning to Fly in his live version where he slows it down, the first time I heard the entire place sing back to him, I still get goosebumps. And it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever heard. And I was like, this is it. This man is amazing. And I became a fan ever since and have loved him since that day.
I got it. Yeah, I feel the same way about Prince, you know, and it's sad that they're both gone the same, with among the same circumstances. But I remember it wasn't the first time I saw Prince. It's actually the last Prince show I saw. It was in Raleigh at PNC Arena. And he comes out, starts the show, and I think he started with Delirious, and he kind of stops the band, and he's like, y'all aren't ready for this. He's like, I got some hits. We're going to be here a while. I mean, just the whole sense of humor, that passionate love for music, it was great. Now, let me ask you something. Now, if there's anyone you wish you'd seen, any artist or performer that you haven't seen that you wish you'd seen?
Actually, Prince is one. I would love to have seen Queen. Queen's my number one past band that I never got to see. I would love to have seen the Beatles, all four together. I would love to have seen Pink Floyd and Janis Joplin. I would like to have seen the Doors. I'm a fan, but I wouldn't say mega fan. But just to witness Jim Morrison on stage just would have been amazing. Grateful Dead, Joe Cocker. There's several.
Gotcha.
But I have got to see several good ones, too, that I forgot to mention. I got stuck on Tom Petty. We got to see Phil Collins. That was one of my bucket lists.
Definitely. That was awesome.
If he ever came out of retirement, I would be there. And we did it. We made it happen.
That was cool. In Columbus, Ohio.
Absolutely. It was a great show.
It was great.
Some of the other ones I got to see. My first concert ever was Whitney Houston. I saw Michael Jackson on the Bad Tour. That was great. And then I even got to see Lynyrd Skynyrd before I knew how cool Lynyrd Skynyrd was.
Right,
first
right.
time I ever saw drugs, by the way. That's a whole other funny story.
You know.
Let's see. So I've seen several over the years. I've seen a lot of country artists that were great. Reba McEntire, Hank Jr., George Strait. Back in like the 90s, George Strait.
Right.
And then to have seen these people and listen to them growing up and then hear my kids listening to them, you know, it's pretty amazing. You know, I have a middle son, his name's Evan, and he tells me all the time that I grew up during the greatest period of music ever, which would have been around the 90s.
Now who got you so into music?
Well, I got it honestly from my dad. I was born loving music.
Right.
My mom purchased a stereo system for him for Christmas one year. And I was just a year old. And they used it to turn it on at night to get me to sleep. So it was partially for me, too. So I've listened to music literally my entire life. I have older siblings, older cousins, older friends that have introduced me to different bands, different genres of music. And I've just had an eclectic style. If it sounds good and I can, if it reaches me somehow, I hold on to it. So whether it's country or classical, southern rock, hard rock, R&B, all of it. I love it all.
And if it touches you, it's yours.
Yes. Yeah. But in particular, my cousin Robin, she taught me a lot about music and didn't really realize she was doing it. She taught me a lot about Elvis and the Beatles. And those were her major influences growing up. And then I read a lot of books that she had on the bands and listened to her collection of music. And then it became, hey, go get us some new music. So she just tossed me some money and I'd go into disc jockey from back in the day. Come out with
store.
All new, yes.
That's a record store.
It was a record store.
There you go.
It was a record store.
I love it. There you go. That's what's up.
Yes, to come out with all different kinds of music, and I would teach her, and she would teach me. And then I found that's one of the ways that you can really connect with people. That's one of those base things that everyone kind of has in common. You can reach people through music, even if you can't agree on anything else. And I had a coworker when I was an EMT before that was the only thing we could agree to talk about. We could talk about music.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, do you have a bucket list of shows? We were talking about Phil Collins is on your list. Is there anybody else that you'd really like to see?
Yes. Elton John, which, you know, he's touring now. Uh-huh. Supposed to be the farewell tour. Uh-huh. I would definitely have to make that happen. Right. Let's see. Fleetwood Mac, they're also on tour, which now they have Mike Campbell with them. I'm really excited to see that. They are going to be in Boston in October, and I'm hoping we can make that show. Rolling Stones. I have got to see the Stones.
Now, I've seen them. That was great.
I've heard that that's a great show.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people close to me have seen them, so I feel like I'm behind a little. But, yeah, they're definitely on my list. Those are the ones right offhand.
So we share music, concerts, funny experiences. Tell me, do you have a funny concert experience or something that would just, that still makes you giggle to this day?
Actually, there's probably several.
Okay.
Let's see, funniest concert experience. Let's see. I can't think of anything terribly funny run off hand. But I do know that when I went to see Bob Seger, it just happened to work out coincidentally that I took my older sister, found out that my older brother was there, and we all three met up. So it's the only concert that three of the five of us have been to together. So that was kind of cool.
Right.
And then the first Tom Petty concert that I went to, that was kind of funny because I thought, you know, here I am in Ohio by myself. No one knows where I'm at. And that was, I think I just had gotten my first flip phone. So there were no texting kind of things, you know, no, electronic ways of communicating, you know, right offhand, not like we have now. But it was 2006. So I was afraid, you know, if something happened to me at the show, my car's left in the parking lot, nobody's going to know who I am. So I wrote this, like, I am so-and-so years old. My name is, I have tattoos here. I have this many kids. I live in, and I threw it in my glove box, you know, so if they happen to recover the car, not me. kind of a morbid thought, but, you know, I was trying to be safe.
Yeah, too much. Oh, my gosh. Now, so I have to ask you, your worst concert experience.
That is a tricky one. Because I don't think any of them have ever been bad.
Right, right. Okay.
And worst, I will say, in terms of just sound. I don't know if it's just from where we were located in PNC Arena, but the mixtape tour had a kind of like like a reverb.
Yeah, it's kind of echoing.
It was hard to hear.
Yeah.
But it was still a great show. Oh. I enjoyed it. Enjoyed everyone's company. We had a great time.
Oh, yeah.
Kicking back old school. And then I think it was the concert where we saw Chicago and REO, where we kept getting, you know, storm delays, rain delays. Can we go in? Can we not? Can we go in? Can we not? Finally made it in, and then it was like a delay of show, and then it was rain. But it was okay. It was still a great show. Still got to see two of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it was a good night anyway.
That was it. Now, what's the farthest you've ever traveled from your home to see a show?
If I'm not mistaken, I think the farthest I've ever traveled was to Hartford, Connecticut to see Tom Petty. And that was a special show because we saw him on, I think it was a Tuesday or a Wednesday in Cincinnati. I took my son to see him. I promised that I would take him to see Tom Petty the next time he toured, which was incidentally his 40th anniversary tour and also his last. So... took him and his girlfriend to see them in Cincinnati. We took her home to Kentucky and then went straight on to Hartford from there. And, it was an awesome road trip. We spent a lot of close time together, but it was great. I got to meet with my friend from Vermont. She came down to Hartford and we enjoyed Tom Petty together. So that was a really great experience. It was a long travel, but well worth it to see him twice in 1 week with my son, both shows. Yeah, it was amazing.
That sounds amazing.
I was really, really happy to get to see him twice on that tour.
That is very, very cool. And I was going to bring up one that I thought was really neat. We went to see Matchbox 20.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. And I'll never forget it. It's like, we're so close. And I'm going, man, this guy's singing to my girlfriend. And all of a sudden, this lady leans over and it's like, He's singing to you. He's singing to you.
And I was like, oh, stop it. Yeah, he is.
That was awesome.
Yes. I've been a fan of Matchbox 20 for a long time and always had wanted to see them. So in reference back to the best shows, absolutely, that was one of my definitely top five. It was kind of a last-minute thing. I called you. I got off work. Said, hey, want to go see Matchbox 20? I'm like, sure. So grab the tickets, grab you. We cleaned up the car, took a nap, went to the show, and it was blazing hot.
Oh, yeah.
Almost, well, it was uncomfortably hot. I don't think we had a dry article on us anywhere. But it was absolutely one of the best shows that I've ever been to. We were center stage, center row. It was like right in the front.
Oh, yeah.
And I've probably never been that close to anyone before. We just happened to luck into some great tickets. And oddly, I think our seat numbers were 20 and 21.
Oh, yeah.
So, two rows back for Matchbox 20 was a dream come true. And then for you to be with me was even more amazing. So I think the best part of the show was when he was getting ready to sing Hang. And he said this was for all the ones that have been there from the very beginning. So, of course, almost made me cry a little. But I sang right with him, and I think he was looking at me, but you know.
I don't think anyone could deny it. Oh, man. Now, we just saw a show together recently. We saw Goo Goo Dolls and Train, and Alan Stone, the opening act, was great, too. I was amazed at how good that show was. I thought, okay, the Goo Goo Dolls are the headliner, because I like so many of their songs. I went into it not realizing how many Train songs I knew. I think it was a really good show. We're outside at Walnut Creek.
Mm-hmm.
It was hot. We're on the lawn, but it was still a great show. The sound was good. The lighting was really good.
Yes.
And I really, really, really enjoyed the opening act. Alan Stone has a super soulful voice. I'd looked him up on YouTube a couple weeks before, and I don't know if he's getting any radio play. I'm not sure, because I don't listen to a lot of new radio, but I really like his voice. Really,
I did too. I was really impressed. That was the first time I'd heard of him also, but I thought he led into the show really well. He got the crowd going. He had a really uplifting attitude and a really good stage presence. But not overly so. He didn't wear you out before you got started,
Exactly.
And it was a good way to get the evening started. It actually did turn out a lot better than I expected as well. I had seen Goo Goo Dolls before. Actually, that was Evan's first concert when he was 7.
Okay.
So I took him to Louisville to see them at the Palace Theater for his 7th birthday.
Wow.
That was a great trip. He was getting so tired at the end of the show. He was standing in the chair. He said, Mommy, I'm so tired. I said, it's okay, baby. This is almost over. But don't hang in there with me. This is the best part.
Oh, nice.
So he was a trooper. He hung in there. And
so
he's loved every music ever since.
Awesome.
I actually got to take him to his first Foo Fighters show, but we can talk about that in a minute.
Oh, yeah.
The Train show was great. Goo Goo Dolls reminded me of why I fell in love with them in the first place.
Right. Why is that?
Their music's very inspirational. It reaches you on an emotional level. You can identify with it. The message they're trying to get across and the good things they try to do, aside from being in the band, it's just a really beautiful thing. And it reminds me of why people make music and how we're all coming together. And then when you look around and see everybody else singing and dancing with you, and they're singing their songs and dancing along, it's just a really, really beautiful thing. But Train blasted it out.
Yeah,
I was really, really impressed.
I was too. And they did a Tom Petty cover, American Girl. That was good. I didn't expect that.
I did not either.
That was really good. They did a great job with it. Ended it off with a little free fall in there at the end. It's an excellent, excellent part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Even did a little Drake. So, mm-hmm. I really liked Train. I just didn't take into consideration how many good songs they had. And they had a really powerful, really good message of positivity. And that was cool. He gave the mm-hmm. Raleigh-born guitarist a second try at a guitar solo on Meet Virginia. Guy's name is Luis. Really, really, really great guitarist. And I thought the lead singer, Pat, I thought that was really cool the way he did that.
Pat Monahan's a pretty cool guy from what I've seen in interviews and some of the different things he's involved in. But I thought he had a great stage presence. He led the crowd really well. He got everybody involved. And when a song comes out or when you hear it and it touches you so much that it brings you to tears, or when it gives you the goose pimples or goosebumps, that's when they've done something. And I don't get that a lot with a lot of newer music. That heart and soul isn't really there with so many of the newer, like, and they're catchy and they're fun, but they don't have that emotional aspect.
It doesn't sound like people working together. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, there's something special about, you know, okay, the guitarist and the drummer and the bassist, and they all have to put this thing together. It's like to me, this is just my opinion, the fewer people involved in it, the more cold and computerized it sounds.
Yeah, you know? And to be able to have a working relationship like that and produce great music and have staying power, that's pretty phenomenal this day and time. And he has a great voice. He's been able to reach a lot of people on that emotional level. They had a song on the Pay It Forward soundtrack that was really special. And then he left music for a little while when he lost his mom, I believe it was.
Okay.
From the research that I've done, I could see that it seemed like it was his mom that he lost. But he dedicated a song to her, When I Look to the Sky. That was very beautiful. I had not heard that song before that night. And there's a couple times through the show that it brought me to tears. So I was able to hide behind my sunglasses, but it was a great show. It reminded me of why I really love music.
I like that. Yeah, you talked a lot about positive energy, and like you said, music bringing people together. So that was really cool. I liked the encore when they did Under Pressure.
Yes, that was a great cover. They nailed it. It was beautiful.
Yeah, that band was really good. I would go see them again for sure.
Yes, and David Bowie's another one that I would love to have seen.
Oh yeah, me too.
Yeah, and I've even heard that cover on another. At another show, actually Dave Grohl covered that with the Foo Fighters.
Okay.
Which takes us back to the first time I took Evan to see them. He's been a Foo Fighters fan for a long time, even more so than me, actually. He got me kind of back into the Foo Fighters. And so for his, no, it was just, they were just playing. I found out they were playing, grabbed tickets, and I picked him up from school one day and I said, you had to promise me you make sure you go to school tomorrow and all your homework's done. He said, well, where are we going? I said, we're going to see the Foo Fighters. And I don't think I've ever seen an expression on his face quite like that.
Nice.
So he hopped in the car, we gassed up, and away we went. We went to Burgettstown, Pennsylvania. And actually, I'm close to there now where I work. and every time I drive by that outdoor amphitheater, I think about that time. But in the middle of the show, Dave Grohl had mentioned that if you ever see him out and you mention to him that Under Pressure is the greatest song ever written, he'll buy you a drink. Which I thought that was pretty funny. And he was still
cool.
In the cast at the time, and he was showing pictures about how he drew the throne and what inspired him and how he was in the ER under drugs and and had designed his set and everything. But it was a really cool show. And then I was able to go again with you. And take you to a Foo Fighters show and let you experience all that is Dave Grohl.
That's awesome.
And the fabulous really Foo Fighters. Show. Yes, they were amazing.
Really good show. And like I said, that was somebody I didn't really follow a whole lot. But you know, seeing them with you and listening to them ahead of the show, yeah. And, I really have a much more appreciation for Foo Fighters now. And I wish that I had seen Michael Jackson. I wish that I'd gotten a chance to see him. I never got to see him perform live, and most definitely, truly one of the great entertainers, great performers. Let's see.
But you know, one of the other shows that we've been to recently that we have to thank Evan for was Greta Van Fleet.
Oh,
we
got
to give some props to Fleet.
They
were amazing. Yeah. And a lot of people do compare them to Led Zeppelin, which I'm guilty of. But it's like that. That art's not dead.
Yeah, they are. They're awesome. They're young, energetic. The music sounds fantastic. The thing that I really, really loved about that show, I lost my stuff. I'm really into Motown soul, and there's a song by David Ruffin. He was a singer for the Temptations, and the song's like his first solo hit, My Whole World Ended the Moment I Left You. And I had been listening to that song, like, you know, a couple of weeks before the show, you know, and they're all from Detroit. So, like, you know, bands play pre-show music to get the crowd pumped up, whatever, or to do their run out onto the stage, whatever. And there it is, you know, David Ruffin's song, like the song that played right before they started playing. And I mean, to me, it says, okay, all right, they've done their research. They know, you know, they know good music. They, you know, and it's so true. I mean, they're melodic. It's soulful. It's rocking. It's funky. I mean, and I really like the way they sound. I like their stage presence. Like so many songs by them, but. That's.
And it's almost like they were born in another era.
Yeah,
and they're bringing that art back to life for this generation, and so many times you feel like that's something that's missing.
Oh yeah, they get that comparison, like you said, to Led Zeppelin, but his voice, man, an amazing. That singer's got an amazing voice, man.
Yes, and that actually came about the way he belts out that really high scream, if you will, that came about by an accident in one of the rehearsals. They weren't able to hear him over top of the guitars and drums, so he showed them.
Right.
And then they're like, hey, whatever you just did, do it again.
I love it.
That was cool.
I love it.
And so they're all brothers, except for the drummer. Right. And Danny actually just wanted to hang out because he liked the way they play music. So he taught himself how to play the drums and guitar so he could hang out with them.
Nice.
It's pretty cool. Pretty cool. And the name Greta Van Fleet actually comes from an actual person.
I love that.
And they approached her, invited her to a show, and to make sure that, you know, she was okay with them using her name and after the show. And she's actually an elderly lady.
Yeah.
She told them they did a good job, and they had her blessing.
So. I love it. Really cool.
But I got to give Evan props for that one. He's he and I kind of found out about Greta Van Fleet about the same time. I had seen them on Carson Daly, the late night show that comes on.
Uh-huh.
And he had seen them not far before that, but we hadn't talked in a couple of days. And I was like, oh my gosh, Evan, I have to tell you. He goes, I know, Greta Van Fleet. I was like, how did it? But of course, he knew. But then you're talking about the David Ruffin song at the show. Later, a few days later after the show, Evan messaged me and said, what was the name of that song that John was talking about together? So I sent that to him. So now we're able to introduce him to a whole nother genre and generation of music that he didn't know before.
Oh,
so that's kind of what we do. We toss music back and forth, and we discuss bands, and we discuss shows, and it's just a great way to connect with him too.
Oh yeah,
music is a great way to connect with people, period. You can start a conversation that way. You can help someone through a bad day. You can celebrate a great day. And even if you don't get along with somebody, you can always find something that you identify with music. Whether it's a top 40 hit, whether it's a classic, another genre of music, or even like TV theme shows. People are always connected with music. They use it for music therapy, and it's just a really great way. Sometimes it can help you when you're down, just cry it out, or, you know, it can help you, you know, walk on sunshine. So
yeah, I really, really enjoy going to shows and listening to music with you. And, you know, we've been together, you know,
two years.
Mm-hmm. And it's just great to make memories with you. So that's great. And it's great to, you know, tell you about, you know, things I like and why I like them, you know, what the song means to me or what I was doing, and learning about your experiences, sometimes with the same song, sometimes with the same artist. And so it's
absolutely
cool.
We've had a great time. You've taught me so much actually over the past couple of years. There's things I knew a little bit about, now I know even more about. There's bands I listened to that I didn't before, and then oddly enough the Spinners became something special for us.
Oh, yeah.
And I never realized that song would mean so much.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
But yeah, it's been great. We've had a music education for sure.
That's what's up. And I'm going to put links to many of these songs on the episode description so you can check out The Spinners. Could It Be I'm Falling in Love? There you go, man. Yeah, can't go wrong with The Spinners.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's it. Well, Gabe, thank you for talking to me and sharing this time with me, talking about music and concerts and traveling and going to see stuff.
You're very welcome.
And I hope we get to travel and see more stuff and enjoy more music. Oh, I know what I was going to ask you.
Sure.
Okay. Duh. All righty. Let's see. I was going to ask you, okay, would you rather see a concert in a coliseum or an outdoor venue?
Oh, this one's easy. Well, for me anyway, there's always room for both. And I understand having to be in a bigger venue like the Stones. They sell out coliseums. I mean, it would be hard to fit them into something smaller like the Red Hat or, you know, Walnut Creek for that matter. But there's a lot to be said for that outdoor amphitheater. Uh-huh. Yeah, you run the chance of rain. What's a little rain when you can see Hootie and the Blowfish, you know? That was another funny story.
We got soaked. Yeah.
Yes, yes, we did indeed. But it was well worth it. And we were prepared.
Well worth it.
We were prepared.
We had our rain ponchos.
We had ponchos and we weathered that storm. That's we stood in line and we got to see the show. It was great. And that's what happens when you Uber.
Yeah, for real. And they're screaming at you, go back to your car. I don't have a car here.
We don't have anywhere to go.
Exactly.
But we got this. Yeah. So we ponchoed up and we held out.
That's it. That's
stood behind a recycling bin, a garbage can, let the storm hit those cans, and we were good.
Exactly.
We were good.
Loved it.
Yes, we made it inside finally and got to see a great show.
So,
props to Darius Rucker and Hootie and the Blowfish. That was an awesome show.
That really was.
Glad we got to see that one.
That's it. Never thought I'd hear Hootie and the Blowfish do Fight the Power by Public Enemy. Yeah, it was awesome.
That was great, too. They did a cover by R.E.M., mm-hmm. And of course he did Wagon Wheel. He said he might get punched in the face if he didn't sing that song before
exactly.
he left.
Exactly.
That was pretty funny.
That was really funny. The Samuel L. Jackson Pulp Fiction opening. That
yes.
was awesome. That was
yes,
awesome.
Their stage show was really great too. His presence on stage was wonderful, brought everybody in, but he's a Southern guy anyway, so he has a lot of love coming from here.
There you go.
Already.
South Kakalaki, that's it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, really, really, really enjoyed that show. Like you said, just watching people come together and enjoy good music.
Yeah. Speaking of which, there's another quote by Dave Grohl that I fell in love with too when I was doing some research on the Foo Fighters. He said, I may sing a song to 85,000 people, but they sing it back to me for 85,000 different reasons.
That's
and
deep.
It is, but it's beautiful. It's, I always stop when we get to the part of the shows where they let the crowd sing along. Mm-hmm. And it just amazes me. It floors me every time. And I think that's the most beautiful part of any show because all these people are actually singing for different reasons.
Oh, yeah.
Either it was something that brought back a memory or it touched their heart or made them feel an emotion and you're sharing all that together. And there's so much bad in the world. So when you can have a few minutes where there's something beautiful, live in that moment and enjoy it.
That's it. That's what it's about, living in the moment.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, thank you for taking a moment to talk to me.
It's been my pleasure.
All right. You're listening to the Recasto Podcast.
And that's going to do it for the second episode of the Recasto Podcast. Special thanks to my girlfriend for the awesome interview, her amazing sons, her mom, and my best friends Ty and Alto for the encouragement. Thank you so much for listening. New episodes every Wednesday. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Share it. And remember, give people their flowers while they're living.